this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In 13 days, Election Day in Mississippi, where they'll vote on their Personhood Amendment 26, following Colorado's lead, but hopefully we'll wake up in 2 weeks from today to news of a victory, with Mississippi becoming the first state to assert that they are going to protect unborn children from being killed by abortionists. Meanwhile, the biggest phenomenon on the internet, on YouTube, is a movie by Ray Comfort titled 180 Movie. It's been up now for just a month and already has more than 1 million views. It's titled 180 because using Ray Comfort's amazing techniques of persuasion developed in effectively preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he gets people, real people, a lot of people, to change their minds from pro-choice to pro-life in only seconds. So let's hear this audio promo.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
What was it?
I believe that people have the right to choose.
That changed their minds.
Yes, that's I've just changed my mind about it.
So you're going to vote differently in future?
In a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah.
Find out.
When you put it that way, it does change your mind.
Go to 180movie.com for details.
That's pretty startling. We've been urging people to become pro-life for 20 years on the air, 5 days a week, 50,000-watt radio station, most powerful in Colorado. And we don't have that kind of success, not nearly as often as we'd like. And so Ray Comfort, you will know Ray because we've talked about him and his evangelistic work on this show. We've interviewed Ray Comfort along with Kirk Cameron. He hosts the TV program, The Way of the Master, that airs in 70 countries and on 42 networks. Well, Ray Comfort, Ray, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks for having me on, Bob. Appreciate it.
What an honor. At our church, Denver Bible Church, we have taken, I think it was a few months, and we went through your evangelistic training here on the show. We sell your DVDs, The Greatest Gamble and Hell's Best Kept Secret. We've got them on our stores. We make them available to our audience. So, Ray, thank you. There's a lot I'd like to talk to you about, but mostly thank you for your love and service to the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's an absolute pleasure.
And Ray, could you talk to us now about 180 because it has become a phenomenon?
Yes, certainly. Let me tell you a bit of background about 180. It was actually an accident, if I can call it that. I wrote a book called Hitler, God, and the Bible for WorldNet Daily, and I told them I'd supply a video called Hitler's Religion. I was going to create a video giving background on what Hitler did and how he used God for his own political gain. And I went out in the streets to find out what people believed about Adolf Hitler and came back with 14 interviews of people, mainly college students, who didn't have a clue who Adolf Hitler was. It blew me away. I thought, what planet are they living on?
Yeah.
And then I got an interview with a guy named Steve, who was a black-hating, Jew-hating, Hitler-loving, America-hating, neo-Nazi atheist with a 14-inch blue mohawk. Very colorful footage. And I remember as I made my way through the Holocaust, I wet my way through and I found an incident that happened in the middle of the war where the Nazis shot about 300 Jews in a pit. And while some of them were still alive, they brought in the bulldozers and buried them alive. And I was horrified that anyone could do such a thing. And I thought, well, I'm going to put people in a moral dilemma. Well, they drive a bulldozer to bury people alive. Under the point of a Nazi gun. So I said that to people, would you drive it forward? And they would say, no, I could never do that. And I'd say, why is it? Is that because you value human life? And they'd say, oh, yes, I do. I'd say, well, how do you feel about abortion? Mm. And they'd say, oh, it's a woman's right to choose. I'd say, well, do you think it's a baby in the womb? And they'd say, yes. So then I asked them one question, which caused them to change their minds from being adamantly pro-abortion to being pro-life in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Came back to the studio and sat in the studio and looked at what we got and thought, wow, this is something special. We don't have a Hitler's religion movie. We have a pro-life movie. So we changed the name to 180. We did a 180 about the title.
180.
And released it on the internet. And as you said, million views in 22 days.
Ray, it's a half-hour video. It's just a stunning watch. It's just phenomenal to see person after person coming to grips with what they're claiming to believe in, the right to kill an innocent person. And then you can see it in their eyes, the conviction, and they realize what they've been advocating is wrong, and they affirm that they no longer will defend that position of right to kill children. And now there's 1.2 million views on YouTube, and I don't know if you heard the introduction to the show, but what perfect timing, because Mississippi in 2 weeks has their statewide election on their Personhood Amendment 26.
Yeah, it just seems to be a stirring in the country about the issue of abortion, and it is very timely, especially with the elections coming up, and when you change someone's mind about abortion, they're going to change their mind about the way they vote, and we need to let people know that anyone is advocating the murder of children in the womb, that they should not be voted for. If they are, then we've got the blood of that child on our own hands.
Yeah.
It's a very serious issue, and we've got to take it seriously.
Let me think that through, what you just said. If you support someone who admits that they will kill innocent children by their own policy, then we would share in the guilt of the children killed by that leader.
Yeah, we're giving them license to do so. We're just like the Germans who voted the Nazis in power knowing they were going to kill Jewish families.
Mm-hmm.
And that's horrific. You know, when I was looking through or putting together manuscript research for the Hitler book, I thought I'd uncover why it was that Hitler killed so many Jews. What was his motivation? How do you hate 6 million people enough to kill them? And there were, I found certain theories, but nothing concrete. And I think I uncovered a motivation that Hitler had that's very rarely addressed. And that is, every time Hitler killed a Jewish family, especially a wealthy one, he gained their assets. He gained their bank account, he gained their paintings, got their house, got their car, got their savings, got the gold in the teeth and the hair on their head,
yeah,
and the jewelry. And so it was money in the pocket for Hitler every time he killed a family, a Jewish family. In fact, he raked in billions of dollars and paid for one-third of his war effort with the blood of the Jews.
I just read a biography of Albert Einstein, and his property was being confiscated by the Nazis.
Absolutely.
And that's why he eventually fled.
Well, abortionists in America have the same motivation. If you don't believe they make money from it, just pull up your internet, look at your local abortion provider around the corner from you, and you'll find their prices are up on the screen. For $765, they'll kill your 16-week baby. Mm. If it's a 19-week baby, it's going to cost a lot more, three times the amount, and they make $2,165 from killing a 19-week baby. It's quick work, 15, 20 minutes of sucking off the head, the arms, the legs, the torso, putting them together on a table, putting them in the trash, and do that 15, 20 times a day. You've made big money.
You make a lot of money. And right up the street from our studio in Boulder, Colorado, there's late-term abortionist Warren Hearn. And we've been doing this on the air, Ray, for 20 years. So there's an employee at an insurance company, Blue Cross Blue Shield. I wouldn't say what her name is, of course, but she has sent us invoices they have paid for late-term third trimester abortions by Warren Hearn, where it cost about $30,000 to kill the baby beyond 24 weeks.
I can't believe we're even talking like this.
Mm.
It's horrific, and it's got to stop, and we can stop it by using this timely movie. It doesn't cost a thing to get on your computer. The keyboard is the key to reaching so many people. You've got the world at your fingertips. You can move a mountain with your mouse. All you do is take the link, 180movie.com, send it to as many people as you know and say, you've got to watch this.
Yeah.
It's award-winning, a million hits in 22 days. Let me know what you think. And they'll come back with their views changed on abortion. And that's how we're going to stop this horror in our nation. We're going to vote these people out, not let them in.
Ray Comfort, I went to the American Right to Life website, one of the pro-personhood groups in the country, and they've got your video right at the top of their homepage. And pro-life groups all over the country have been promoting this. Have you noticed that from where you're standing? Have you noticed the love and support from pro-life organizations?
Yeah, it's just wonderful to get such a unified backing from so many, not only leaders, but the grassroots level. And I really think God's doing something. We look back and how we didn't plan this, it just happened, and how timely it is. And we believe that God is behind it. And every Christian needs to see that he can do his part using social media or giving out the video. We gave out about 180,000 videos across the country at 100 top universities just yesterday. And already we're receiving emails from people saying that they've changed their minds about abortion. They're not going to vote anymore for people that advocate the killing of children in the womb, no matter how good their fiscal policy is.
Yeah, so if there was a German, and there were districts in Germany where the majority vote was split between the Marxists and the Nazis, so that a majority of voters was choosing one or the other, and they might have said, well, this person is the lesser of two evils, or this person has good foreign policy, or this person will help me make more money. But when leaders tell you that they advocate the killing of some innocent, then there's no way of escaping the blame. And when Christians will support people who kill children because they think that they're going to save their country, well, when the Christians do that, then there is no hope for turning around a nation.
Absolutely. We've lost the salt, the savor, and we tremble underfoot of men. You know, the key is, as I said, the whole body to rise up. Kay Arthur, Andrew Elcourt, Randy Elcourt, and myself produced a 64-page booklet. It's called the 180 Course, where Christians can learn, or pro-life people can learn to do what I do on 180. It's nothing clever. I'm not super intelligent. It's just certain principles you use. And all it takes is a loving heart and applying yourself to learning. And people can get that course from heartchanger.com, and it's very, very dirt cheap. So we want to encourage people to do that, heartchanger.com.
All right, heartchanger.com. Now, Randy Alcorn, he has a book, Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments, and he has gifted that book to the Personhood campaign. And so the fact that you are working with him and Kay Arthur on this new book, give us the name of it again, the book.
It's a 64-page study guide that goes with the 180 course. And you go to heartchanger.com, it's right up there on the homepage. It's easy to see.
So it's study guide, heartchanger.com. Ray Comfort, you mentioned asking young people about Adolf Hitler, and they're virtually unaware of what happened in World War II. I was invited to speak at a college campus in an ethics class, a philosophy class, and they agreed to let us take a video camera with us. We recorded the whole thing. Before we got in the class, we went to the cafeteria, and I went table to table, and this is on our DVD, asking the students, college students, if they believed in right and wrong, absolute right and wrong, right and wrong. They all said no. So I asked them, well, is it absolutely wrong if a man were to violently rape a woman? They say no. I asked them, is it wrong for the Nazis to slaughter millions of Jewish men, women, and children? They look at me, they look at the camera, and they say no. That is where we're at after decades of challenging God's authority, teaching kids there's no such thing as right and wrong. And now, young people, they think there's no such thing as truth.
Absolutely. In Genesis 9, verse 6, it says, if you shed the blood of a human being, your blood should be shed. And then it says, for man is made in the image of God. You can't murder a horse or a cat or a dog. You can kill them, but you can't murder them. That word is reserved for human beings because we're made in the image of God. And if you shed the blood of a human being, God says your blood will be shed because we're unique amongst God's creation. We've got a sense of justice and truth and righteousness. And God holds us as being very valuable in his eyes to a point where if you take someone's life, you give your life. So when someone kills a fetus in the womb, not killing a fetus, they're actually murdering a human being and violating the sixth commandment, and God will hold them responsible. And when you take those commandments and apply them to the conscience of even someone who has no moral absolutes, the conscience is the judge in the courtroom of the mind. The conscience is independent, and it's stirred up the moment you go through those commandments and say, you know, it's wrong to kill, to steal, commit adultery. And that's what happens in 180. It's a stirring of the person's conscience, that inner knowledge of right and wrong, that produces the results.
We had, a while back, we had the president of Colorado's Humane Society in the studio, Robin Duxbury, and she was arguing that it's wrong to kill animals, And I asked her about fetal pig experiments that happen, research, and she said they're absolutely immoral. And so I said, well, what is your position on abortion? She said, oh, I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
So I said, Robin, how could it be that you fight against the killing of an unborn pig, but you stand for the right to kill an unborn human, baby boy or baby girl? And how could she answer that question? She actually couldn't. And she admitted that she never considered the tension between those two positions.
Well, it's good that she was open to some sort of reason. Yeah, it's just crazy. We've got so many emails from people saying, you know, I thought abortion was okay. I was told that it wasn't a baby. And after the abortion, someone came up to me and said, do you want to know if it was a boy or a girl? Mm. And these people are heartbroken. There's a lot of people out there that are being deceived by the pro-abortion, pro-choice people. And we need to take the veil off.
Well, when the abortionist says that this is just a part of the woman's body, unless I have my figures wrong, about half of the time it's a boy and it has a Y chromosome. And a woman doesn't have a Y chromosome. Half the time it's a boy, showing that this is a boy's body. And whether it's a little boy or girl, they have their own body within mom's womb.
Absolutely. And also, we've got science to back up what we're saying. The moment of conception, when the sperm meets the egg, DNA is established. And in that DNA, you have the personality of the human being, you have the eye color, the hair color, the height of the person. And so everything is there. That is a human being. Life has begun. And if you touch that life, then you're violating the sixth commandment.
So as far as this video and comparing 180, the 180 movie to other pro-life videos, Ray, let me tell you for one moment, I've been involved with the pro-life fight in Colorado for over 20 years, and we had a state office in my home for a while, and Planned Parenthood had an employee, and they asked her to show up at my doorstep as a volunteer office employee. Her name's Patty Krangle, and we spotted her as a pro-abortion woman from the first moment. But she didn't realize that we figured out who she was, and we allowed her in our office one day a week for a year, Patty Krangle. And the first thing we did with her is we asked her to watch all 20 pro-life videos we had in our library and to create a table of contents for each one, and she dutifully did all that. But the sad thing is, at the end of it, she still was pro-abortion.
Right.
So could you tell me your thoughts about what makes 180 different from these other pro-life films?
Well, 180 does is give knowledge that the person doesn't have, which gives them another perspective. Let me give an example, Bob. I could say to you, Bob, could you indicate to me where up is? And no doubt, if you're intelligent, you'll put a finger in the air above your head. You'll point to up. And I can say to you, I'm going to change your mind in seconds about that. I'm from New Zealand. I live down under. And for a New Zealander, the direction you're pointing isn't up, it's down. And once you realize that information, once you have that information, then you realize that there's no such thing as up or down, that it's all relative of where you're standing on this big ball we call Earth. Now, what's happening with 180 is people are given information. I was on a plane a while ago, and I was talking to a young man, he was a businessman, and took him through the commandments, witnessed to him, preached the cross, then did the same thing I do on the 180 and given same scenarios. He changed his mind about abortion in about 3 or 4 minutes. And then he says, I like the way you do this. You just give information and leave it up to people to make their own minds up. And that's exactly what happens on 180. They're given information that gives them another perspective so that they can make a reasonable choice in that sense. I do the same thing with atheists. I can make an atheist backslide with one question. And I see it all the time. I did it yesterday in UCLA. Someone says, I'm an atheist. I say, well, let me give you some information to tell you what you believe. You believe that nothing created everything, a scientific impossibility. And usually, probably 9 out of 10 times, they'll go, oh, no, I don't believe that nothing created everything. So I say, you believe something did? They say, yeah. I say, you just don't know what it was. They say, that's it. I say, you're not an atheist, you're an agnostic. You believe something created everything, you just don't know what it was. Let's see if we can see why you don't want it to be God. So it's the extra information, the knowledge, that gives that other perspective. And that's what 180 does in a way that is reasonable and makes sense to the hearer. Plus, it addresses the conscience.
We're speaking with Ray Comfort, the producer of the new film 180. You could see it on YouTube. Ray, I'm sure you're familiar with the Darwin Bible. It's the Bible that I am currently reading. I'm about halfway through it. And if I recall, you have produced for Darwin's, what was it, the 150th anniversary?
That's right, yes.
You produced this edition of the Bible that has tremendous notes throughout it showing the atheist or the agnostic or the evolutionist that God created us clearly, not only as the scriptures say, but overwhelmingly the science shows that we did not and could not have evolved from animals.
Yeah, the whole thought of evolution is absolutely crazy. As I was preaching yesterday at a great crowd at UCLA, I said to someone, do you believe in evolution? He said, yes. So I said, well, answer me this, would you? Do you believe we come from the sea originally? He said, yes, I believe that. I said, well, we used to be fish. He said, yes, before we evolved, arms and legs, etc. I said, did the first fish have lungs or gills? And he backed up, he thought, because if he says lungs, I'd be saying, what's it doing with lungs under the water? Why did it evolve lungs under the water?
Right, right.
And if it had gills, what was it doing up at the land when it couldn't breathe?
Right.
And then I said, and you got another little problem too. When the first fish came up with these lungs and gills that somehow evolved underwater, was it male or female? Because it's got to be both. Well, you're not going to get any little baby fish right up on the land. And the problem is with evolution, these guys just don't think.
Yeah.
They just accept by faith what the professor says and then mock us because we have faith in God.
Mm-hmm. And so could we speak for a moment, if it's all right with you, you know, little people, Ray, they like to hear about celebrities, and you're friends also with Kirk Cameron. Could you tell us about your relationship with Kirk Cameron and how that began?
Yeah, I met Kirk after someone gave him Hell's Best Kept Secret about in 2001, I think, October 2001. Someone gave him Hell's Best Kept Secret. He listened to it twice and then called the ministry and wanted to have lunch, so I said I'll check my calendar. Anyway, we had lunch together, 3 hours, and he came back to the ministry and wouldn't go home. He stayed to help us load the UPS truck. And then he just kept calling me again and again, and he says, how can we get this Hell's Best Kept Secret teaching to the church? And long story short, he took my notes, Hell's Best Kept Secret, and preached them on TBN one night, and the next day our website got over 1 million hits in one day.
Oh my.
And that's it. TBN through the roof with their ratings, and they said, please come back. And he said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll produce a television program that brings out biblical principles when it comes to evangelism. And about 5 or 6, 7 years later, it's in 70 countries, 42 networks, and we're in our fourth season. And I just shake my head at what God has done. It's absolutely wonderful.
Wow. Well, you have already said it in this interview, but maybe we could touch on it again. The method that we could use, if we're not afraid of God's law, God gave us his law as a tool of evangelism to preach the gospel so that people will know that they need a savior. You have an illustration with some guy on an airplane and he's offered a parachute. Could you share that illustration with us?
I'll try my best and I'll have to squeeze it up into a little summary so it makes sense. But if you're on a plane and you're given a parachute and told it's going to make your flight better, you're going to put it on for that motive.
Hmm.
You put it on thinking it's going to make your flight better. But if the plane hits turbulence and the flight attendant drops hot tea on you, you're going to scream and say, this is not a better flight, and you take the parachute off and throw it on the floor.
Right.
Another man who's told to put the parachute on for a different reason, because he's going to have to jump out of the plane any moment, 10,000 feet, is not going to worry when the hot tea hits his bare flesh or when he hits
right.
turbulence. He doesn't care how bumpy the flight gets. He didn't put the parachute on for a better flight, so it doesn't even relate it to the flight. He just clings tighter to it and looks forward to the jump. If we say to sinners, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to make things better.
Yeah.
He'll fill the God-shaped vacuum in your heart and supply your needs.
You're going to get a new car, a new job, and a new dog and everything.
And no problems. Everything will be sweet. And when tribulation, temptation, and persecution comes, which are promises of Scripture, that person is going to be totally disillusioned and backslide. And they don't really backslide. They don't slide forward in the first place. They have a false conversion. What we should be doing is saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have to flee from God's wrath. There's going to be a judgment day and you need a Savior. If you come to the Savior and put on the Lord Jesus Christ for that motive, to flee from God's wrath, when tribulation strikes, when the flight gets bumpy, things go wrong, you'll just cling tighter to the Savior. Mm. And that's the difference between true and false conversion. It's the motive for our commitment. So we need to stop all the silly emotional altar call business and using God as a divine butler to get people to come and give their heart to Jesus and preach the law of God, that people are going to have to jump through the door of death. They're going to have to face a holy God on Judgment Day, and they need a Savior desperately to wash away their sins before that day of wrath.
Yeah, and people, they tend to object that God is a holy God with a righteous standard. But here on this earth, if there are people who are hurting the innocent, harming children, we recognize that we cannot tolerate that. Otherwise, we become evil. And if God were to allow unrepentant people who hate him, if he were to allow them to populate heaven, then heaven would become hell, and we would just have two hells. And we're about out of time. But what an honor to have, I think, the world's leading evangelist here on Bob and Yurt Live. It's a thrill, because if you notice the heart of the individual, Ray Comfort has a passion to teach people that these unborn children are made in God's image, in God's likeness. And like he said, you cannot murder a horse. You can't murder a turtle. You could only murder a person. And if you kill an innocent child, that is murder. It's an assault on God's image. That child is made in God's image and God's likeness. And so you counterfeit a dollar bill and the government gets mad at you because that's Caesar's image on there. You kill a child and you have just not only harmed that child, but you've turned yourself into an enemy of his creator God. And so that is why people who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people who affirm the truth of God's special creation of man and the world we live in our cosmos, these people have a passion to save the unborn child, because personhood is the dagger in the heart of liberalism. It's personhood. And that is the most significant thing we can do to reverse the godlessness